Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 25 says this, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What is all these things? The necessities of life, he said, they'll be added unto you if you'll seek him first. Said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Look back in verse number 30. "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven." Know what he says. "Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Shall he not much more clothe you? I preached the first message on this. I know a man who can save. This morning I want to preach on this thought for just a little while. I know a man who can sustain. I know a man who can sustain. He said, how much more will he not take care of you? You know what he's saying? Here's what he's saying. God will take care of you. Amen. I know a man who can sustain. Father, help us today. You know the need of the service. May your will and way be done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. I thought about this. Worry affects our entire being, our mind, spirit, and body. Jesus teaches us that freedom from worry also involves our entire being. When our thinking, our faith, and our actions are rightly aligned with God, worry loses its grip on us. Why? Because God is the God who sustains us. Whenever you study the Word of God, you'll find that all throughout Scripture, God has proven himself to be faithful. I want to say this to you this morning. God always has been faithful, and God always will be faithful. Think about the Bible. He sustained Noah while he was in the work. He sustained Israel in the wilderness. He sustained Jonah in the well. He sustained David in a time of war. And if God done it for them, he's no respecter of person, and God can do it for you today. I know a man who can sustain. I know a man who can take care of you. You ever had a need in your life and thought, well, you know what, I might not be able to meet that, or every once in a while I'll tell the girl something like this. I know a man who can take care of that. Can I say something to you today? Whatever you're facing in your life, I know a man that can take care of it. It don't matter how dark the valley is, I know a man hand that can take care of it. It don't matter how deep the night may seem. I know a man who can take care of it this morning. God can sustain us today. I want to show you three things and we'll go home. Number one, when we think about I know a man who can sustain, I want you to think about this. Number one, think of his greatness today. Who is the man? Well, if you've not figured it out yet, it's God. But seek you first the kingdom of what? Of God. Think about his greatness today. When we begin reading in verse 25 down through verse number 29, he begins dealing with the greatness of God. Jesus begins by correcting our way of thinking. Think about this. His greatness is seen in his provisions. His greatness is seen in his provisions. What did the Bible say? The Bible said this, "Behold the fowls of the air." He said, take a minute and look at the fowls of the air and how God sustains the fowls of the air. I began to think about that, and you all know this. If you don't, let me enlighten you on it. It's been cold and snow in the past few weeks, and the ground's been frozen. There's been a lot of snow on the ground, I've been sitting in the house more than I normally sit in the house. I was sitting in the house the other morning drinking a cup of coffee, looking out the window. I usually sit at the kitchen table and drink my cup of coffee in the morning. I open the blinds and I look up towards the church and pray for the people at the church as I drink my coffee. And I was sitting there, Brother Robert, and a bird flew by and sat down on the table out there. Man, it was cold. The wind was blowing. Everything was froze over. And when I looked at that bird, here's what I thought. Well, he sure is fat. Some of you men woke up this morning, you went and sat down at the table, and your wife looked over at the table and thought the same thing I thought about that bird. Well, he sure is fat. I'm sorry, come back. I thought, boy, that bird is getting taken care of. And the night before, I'd been reading through this and studying this again. And I thought, you know what God said? Behold the fowls of the air. Think about his greatness this morning. His greatness is seen as his provision. So I began studying. Here's what I found out. Now stay with me right here a minute. From everything that I can study, they say that there is, I don't know how they come up with this number, but I believe them because there's a bunch of them. They say that in the earth today, or on the earth today, there is approximately 50 billion birds. That's a bunch of zeros. 50 billion birds. And they said that the average weight of a bird is 15 grams. And to feed all of the birds for one day, it would take 750,000 metric tons of food. And in order to buy that for one day, it would cost $225 million to feed the birds of the air for one day. Yet I know a man that every day that the sun comes up, or every day that it breaks daylight, you know what he does? There's not a bird start. Matter of fact, I was sitting in the same chair this morning. I believe it was the same bird that came by and sat down this morning. And I looked at Leslie and I said, look out there at how fat that bird is. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying when we think about the greatness of God, whoa, if he takes care of them, how much more? You know, he didn't give us I got to hurry because I got a lot wrote down that I want to give you this morning. He didn't give his son to die for the birds. Are you hearing me? He gave his son to die for us. But if he takes care of a bird that way, how much more? Oh, think about his greatness. Think about his greatness is seen in provisions. He talks about, consider the lilies. Flowers are clothed with beauty. God sustains creation without anxiety. God never even thinks about it. He just does it. His greatness is seen in provision, but his greatness is seen in the worth of his people. What did he say? He said, are you not much better than they? You know what he's saying to them? He does address their faith in just a minute. We'll get there. But here's what he's saying. He's saying, if I do that for them, I'm telling you, that ought to help you this morning. If I do that for them, how much more do I love you? How much more do I care about you? How much more will I take care of you? He's saying that we're more valuable than the birds. We're more precious than the flowers. When we worry, our thinking is distorted, and we forget our worth today. If God so faithfully sustains plants and animals, how much more will He sustain His children? Number one, think about His greatness. Number two this morning, verse number 30 through 32, I would say this. Not only do we think about His greatness, but number two, we trust in His grace. We trust in His grace. In His grace. I know what the Bible said in verse number 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, so shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He already knows. No matter what your need is, God already knows that. I thought about this. Not only do we think about His greatness, but we trust in His grace. Worry is not just a simple emotional state. It's often a spiritual state that we're in. We worry because we're not trusting in the grace of God. You know what my daddy said about worrying? I'll never forget this. He said it years ago. He said, worrying is like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it'll not take you nowhere. It'll give you something to do, but it'll not take you nowhere. Matter of fact, just the other day, I looked over at my wife, and you know what? When you're cooped in for a few days, you get a little frustrated easier. Somebody say amen. You bunch of sissies, y'all scared to say amen because your wife stepped inside. I still got to go home to mine, all right? Watch this. I told her, I said, Leslie, you're borrowing worry. How many times do we do that, though? We worry about things that we can't control. There's nothing. There's been a matter of fact this week. I sat with several different people and talked to several different people about some major incidences in their life. And here's what I said to them. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I do know who holds tomorrow. And what we must do is realize the greatness of God and trust in His grace. We trust in Him. We trust in Him. Think about this in verse 30 and 31. You see the work of His grace. Grass lives briefly, today alive and tomorrow is burned, yet God clothed it beautifully. We are eternally and not temporary. You see, inside of us, the grass is temporary, but inside of us is a soul. And it's eternal. If God lavishes such care on what fades, how much more does He care for you? How much more? Jesus calls worry what it really is. He says this, O ye of little faith. Oh yeah, worry is a spiritual problem and not an emotional problem. I don't have time to preach all that, but that's what it is. Well, I just can't help but worry about it. You want me to tell you the way that we do help but worry about it? We present our bodies a living sacrifice to God, and we die to ourselves and trust in Him. You said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. He said, oh, ye of little faith, man, trust in the grace of God. Trust in the work of His grace, but the wisdom of His grace in verse 32. The Gentiles lived consumed by material pursuit. Jesus says, don't live for that. Why? Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. Let me tell you the reason. There's nothing wrong with wealth. That was not a trick question. You can say amen. Thank God for some wealthy people that is able to give more than others and help churches and nonprofits do what they do. But you tell you the reason a lot of people are not wealthy today, God knows they can't handle it. God knows that if they had it, they wouldn't go to church. They wouldn't trust Him the way that they do. They wouldn't lean on Him the way that they do. I'm preaching good this morning. The Gentiles was consumed with a material pursuit. And Jesus says, don't live that way. Your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of. And He'll take care of you. 12 times in this chapter, Jesus says, your Father. Listen to what I'm fixing to say to you. Grace rests in knowing He knows, and not just He knows what we need, but He cares about what we need. It's one thing to know, it's another thing to care. And did you hear what I just said? It's one thing to know. It's another thing to care. God just don't know what you need. Hey, God cares about what you need. You say, well, how do you know that? Here's the reason I know that. Because some 2,000 years ago, He sent His Son, and Jesus walked up Calvary's hill and died for us, and 40 days later ascended back into the heavens, but didn't leave us comfortless. He left the Holy Ghost to help us. Oh yes. How gracious is He? Well, I thought about this. This is how gracious He is. He came down that we might be lifted up. He came down that we might be lifted up. He became poor that I might become rich. He was forsaken that I might never be. He was made sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He died so I could live. So trust in the grace of a holy God. Number one, think of His greatness. Number two, trust in His grace. Number three, I'll give you this and we'll go home. Thrust into His goodness. Not only do we think of His greatness, not only do we trust in His grace, but we thrust into His goodness. Know what He said in verse 33. But seek ye. See, it comes back on us. When you study, and I don't have time to deal with all this, when you study the Word of God, God brings man all throughout the Bible, brings him to a decision. And then it's up to that man. It's called the free will of man. Adam and Eve was in the garden. And I'm trying not to get in trouble right here, but I'm probably going to. You know, I quit asking my wife where she wanted to go eat. I mean, we let the woman make a decision one time and look at where we're at in Genesis 3. Some of y'all will get that after a while. You'll be sitting at home and go, you know what the preacher was talking about when Eve took of that fruit in the garden, and now they're sinning all the world. That's the reason. I'm not male chauvinist, okay? I'm not. I got a wife. I got 3 daughters. I got 4 nanny goats, and I got 2 dogs, and both them's women, okay? I got a mama, too, and she's a woman. But think about this. In Genesis chapter number 3, God brought man to a decision. He brought man to a decision, and he had to make a decision. Now, since I made fun of the women, let me just say this. God, whenever you read Romans chapter number 5, didn't say, wherefore is by one woman sin entered into the world. He said, wherefore is by one man. Let me tell you the reason why man's head of the house. And I just tell you something else. I gotta get done. But can I just tell you something else? Whenever you read Genesis, God didn't tell Eve not to take of that. He told Adam. Go home, read your Bible. He told Adam. And you know whose responsibility it was to let Eve know? It was Adam. Now, whether he did or not, I don't know. But can I just say this to you? God pinned it back on man. Because it's, now all you women will be hollering amen right now. Because it's the man's responsibility to lead the home spiritually the way it's supposed to be led and not the ladies. Amen. I'm preaching good right there. But now watch this. When you go all the way back to Genesis 3, I didn't have none of that in my notes. You go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. God brought it down and they had a choice. Now God says, hey, look, I've got grace and I'm great. But it comes down to this. In order to enjoy the blessings that he just dealt with in those first verses, it comes to verse 33. But what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He said, if you want all this taken care of, the choice is this, you've got to seek me. Amen. That's what he says. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Thrust into his goodness. Freedom from worry requires movement. You want me to tell you the reason a lot of people sit around and wallow in their worry? It's because they never move past it. A lot of people sit there because it brings attention to them. And they know if they quit worrying and quit talking about it, they're not going to get the attention that they're getting. I'm preaching good. You know what he says? Seek. It requires some movement. I thought about this, thrust into his goodness. There's the goodness of his will. Seek, it means to pursue, strive, desire, press towards. Two things that matter most. God's rule, His will done on earth is in heaven, and God's righteousness, right living under his rule. Stop burying yourself in worry and thrust yourself into the goodness of his will. There's the goodness of his will, but then I really like this. Miss Tanya, come start playing. There's the goodness of his warranty. The goodness of his, you know, whenever you get a warranty on something, there's always that fine print. There's always that fine print. And usually, they figure something out in that fine print that you didn't figure out, and you just wasted $12,000 on an extended warranty on a vehicle that really wasn't worth nothing, and they laugh at you when you walk out the door. Some of y'all afraid to say amen because you're still mad and bitter about that money you wasted and they didn't cover it. I seen that on some of y'all's faces right there. But think about this. There's the goodness of his warranty. What did he say in verse 33? And all these things. What is all these things? What is all these things? It's what we just read about. It's his grace. It's his goodness. Can I just put it real simple? It's the necessities of life. God never promised a Rolls Royce. God never promised you to be a multimillionaire. But you know what he did say? If you'll seek me first, if you'll put me first in your life, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. I'll say this to you. There is the goodness of his warranty. This is a divine warranty backed by his reputation, backed by his riches, backed by his faithfulness. You say, well, what does it include? I would say this. It includes peace of mind. It includes a steady pace, not distracted by every circumstance. A powerful master. We no longer have to worry about the things of this world. The warranty is only valid. The warranty, are you listening? The warranty is only valid, though, when we seek him. When we seek him. When we seek him.
When we seek, I hope you get what I'm saying. When we seek Him, it's when we run to Him, it's when we trust Him, it's when we thrust ourselves into Him. I know a man who can sustain. He can. It don't matter where you're at. It don't matter what you're going through. I know a man that can take care of you. But here it is. Here's the... what's the line, preacher? What? Whenever we ask... Matter of fact, we called a guy yesterday morning and told him, said, we want every bit of the ice melt you got. He said, well, I got such and such amount. I said, listen, my powers just went out. I'm trying to get a generator up and going. I got a man on the way to get it. I can give you a credit card number over the phone or whatever I need to do. Would you please, please hold that for us? You could tell he was an old timer, and he said this, you just have them get here as fast as they can. You said, what'd you say to him? I said, all right. So what'd you want to say to him? You don't want to know. Because I wanted to have church today, and we needed some ice melt. Brother Mark went to that place. He walked in and looked at that man. He said, hey, I'm from Amazing Grace Baptist Church. Our preacher called. That man looked at Mark and said, you got the cabbage? Mark said, I pulled my billfold out and showed it to him. Said, yeah, I got the cabbage. Where's the ice melt? And a lot of times that's what we say. Well, what's the hinge to this? Preach, you talk about all this greatness of God, Him sustaining us, Him take. What's the catch? It's real simple. You got to seek Him. You got to seek Him. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. What are all them things? Study the context. He just gave it to you in verse 22 down through that. Shall be added unto you. I know a man who can sustain.